What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Another Friday, another episode of Why Are We Bullish? Feeling toxic today. I think I've got some toxic individuals ready, queued up with their reason for being bullish. Excited to have them all. Should be a good one. I'm not going to do too much of a preamble here. I'm just going to say, of course, anything can happen. So before we get started, I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live. Okay. No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks. Yeah.
If you have not already, like, subscribe, share. Share it on Noster. All those things help get this content in front of more eyeballs. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session. Bitcoin. Before we bring in our guests, let's take a quick look at where we are in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com. We're sitting at $26,799 per coin. A single US dollar will pick you up 3,732 sats, 31 sats going down. Get them quick. 19.37 million Bitcoin have in mind. That's 92.25% of them. And in terms of fees, nowhere near the absolute decimation that we saw over the past week when it got up to 600 plus sats per byte. We're sitting around 56 sats per byte for next block. If you're willing to wait a little bit, still around, you know, 48, 50 sats per byte. Be conscious of it. Use RBF. Well, better yet, use Lightning. Use a bunch of different things that allow you to transact easily. And it's purging anything just shy of 10 sats per byte. So just use the tools you have at your disposal. Shout out to sponsors of the show, HODL.com. If you're stacking sats and you've got a few priorities in mind, well, things like peer-to-peer trading, instant self-custody, and no KYC. Well, HODL is the place for you. You can sign up in minutes with nothing more than an email address. Super easy. Head down, pick your currency, pick your payment method, pick your amount, and start viewing offers right away and be stacking non-KYC sats. They also have a lending platform where nothing is ever rehypothecated. And you can get Bitcoin with some of those other layers that we're discussing. More on that later. Now, if you're looking to store said non-KYC Bitcoin securely, you're going to want to get some hardware and you're going to want the best damn hardware on the market. I love everything coming out of CoinKite. ColdCard Mark IV is an absolute beast. They've also got great mobile solutions like the TapSigner. I love the Sats Card, Block Clock, Open Dimes, and coming soon, the Cold Card Q1 looks insane. That should be out near the end of the year. So if you want to reserve that or check out any of the other stuff, head to coinkite.com. Use code BTC Sessions for 5% off everything in the store. If you're looking to go beyond single sig and dive into multi-sig, check out nunchuck.io and their Honey Badger offering, which is an assisted multi-sig where they have a just-in-case key. You've got the majority of the keys, so you can always move funds on your own. It's super easy to set up via mobile. It works great with things like the TapSigner and the Cold Card and a bunch of other mobile options in terms of hardware. And it has baked in inheritance planning. So your sats will get to your next of kin without you having to worry about it. One of the other big benefits of it too is no KYC. You don't need to give up any of your personal information to use this, which sets it apart from other options on the market. So check them out, nunchuck.io, even just as a regular day-to-day wallet. Awesome, but definitely check out that Honey Badger program. And finally, Start9, your sovereign computing solution. These guys are incredible. You can set up your full self-sovereign Bitcoin stack and more. So you can basically run on these devices your Bitcoin Core, Lightning, Mempool.space, Join Market, all kinds of different Bitcoin tools. You can host your data, passwords, files, photos. You can host Nostr relays and Nostr clients, everything. So they've got two different devices, the one, and then the Pro is being referred to now as the Pure. But nonetheless, Start9 knocking it out with Start OS and everything. And you can check them out, start9.com, and check out those two options. The one, the Start One, is your entry level, and the Start Pure would be your like balls to the walls. I'm going to host everything on this thing and get serious about it. So check them out. Nonetheless, I'm going to stop rambling. I need to get my guests in here. We're going to welcome back to the show, Anders, Pubby, and for the first time, Alex. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. I'm very excited for this one. But just in case anybody is unfamiliar, which I doubt, we'll go around the circle and we'll do a little quick intro. Who are you? What do you do? I'll toss it to Anders first. Good to see you, buddy. Let people know who you are, what you do.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you so much for having us. I do Toxic Happy Hour with Poppy. We do spaces every day, Twitter spaces, where we are toxic towards scams that delay the adoption of global sound money. From 11 a.m. PST, which is basically the West Coast, which is the best coast, obviously. And we're supposed to go for 2 hours. We usually go for 2.5 plus whatever. And we have fun with that, where we have a lot of great Bitcoiners adding a lot of great angles, like yourself, Ben, and Alex, who's also in there often hanging out and talking. Yeah. What else do I do? Well, we're throwing a big party in Miami next week that unfortunately is sold out. But yeah, looking forward to go to Miami for the conference.
Whoops, sorry, mute button. Awesome. Well, I'm also stoked for that. Or I'm sure we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But good to have you back, man. Very, very
thank
exciting.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will toss it down to Alex first. And again, a little intro for yourself. Let people know who you are.
Hey, Ben. Thanks again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Hi, Anders. Hi, Pubsy. I'm also with them all the time on Toxic Happy Hour. I just hang out there with them. I love being on there. I'm just a humble pleb. I have a son and a husband, and that's my current job. That's what I'm working on, you know, taking care of the home, making sure everything's great, and just stacking sats for my boy. That's about it for now.
I would say that's the most important job. I think that's an excellent place to be. Putting time and effort. So hats off to all the wives and moms out there. Also, Mother's Day coming up. So happy early Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Happy early Mother's Day to Mrs. Sessions.
Yes, yes. She shall be down in Miami with all of us. So we'll all get to meet and everything. But yeah, we're gearing awesome. Up. yeah, it should be good. Should be good. I'm going to toss it to Pubby last. Pubby, give yourself a little intro.
Hey, listen, it's hard to follow up on Anders and all that. And Alex, I would just say this. When you come to Toxic Happy Hour, you're on there, friends become family real quick. It is what we love, man. I'm glad that you did this show and Alex is here with us, because I love the fact that the friends that come in there and hang out every day, you know why? Because we love Bitcoin. We have many things in common. We love each other. At the end of the day, we become family. That's why going to Miami is such a fantastic treat. It's undescribable if you've never been. It really is. But when you're there and you meet in real time, in real flesh, your first Bitcoiner, man, it's just hugs. It's understanding. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, we like to do this spaces. We like to do this part of our community. And that's the one thing I love about it. Ben, the one thing I always loved and respected about you was you found this little niche in the community. You understood about education. You understood about what's really going to help. What's going to do this? What am I good at? What is it something that I can contribute? And this is what we always sort of find. And that's the one beautiful thing about Bitcoiners is you find this way of them to find this little niche, this little corner. And, you know, after, you know, meeting Anders, now my brother from another mother, you know, that you meet these people that just encourage you to go bigger, learn more. Let's try something together. So I don't even know where I'm going with that, but I'm just saying I love Bitcoin. Love you guys.
Love it. Awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you all. I can't wait to see you all in person. But in the meantime, we get to hang out here online for an evening. And for those unfamiliar, this is Why Are We Bullish? And there's a very simple premise to the show. Each one of us is coming with a reason for being bullish, and that can be anything. It can be a personal experience. It could be a news item. It could be an application or a blog or a video that we saw. It could be anything. And so the flow of the show is somebody drops one, a reason why they're bullish. That's their chance to rant and explain what they're excited about. Two, all together, we get to riff on that reason, questions, comments, whatever it may be. And then number three, we rotate until everybody gets a turn. So reason, riff, rotate, the three R's, that's our driving force in the show. So I'm going to get us started with my reason for being bullish this week. And it kind of has to do in and around the bump in fees that we saw on the Bitcoin network earlier this week. And so the context for that is obviously people are using Bitcoin in different ways now. And, you know, it's very difficult for anybody to step in and say, no, you can't use Bitcoin in a particular way, whether you love it or you hate it. That's the reality of Bitcoin. And the part that gets me bullish is in 2017, at kind of the peak then, there was a massive influx of users. There was a lot of inefficiency in how people were using Bitcoin. And because of that, the fees spiked insane. And so what I saw at times was I remember sending transactions for more than $100 a piece near the end of December 2017. And the wallets didn't have fee selection or like good fee selection, let alone actual tools to actually check what the fees should even be. All of the fee measurement stuff in wallets was way out of whack. So you would get your, you know, if you had a wallet that even had fee selection, it would be like slow, medium, or fast. And that realm could be anything. The slow could have been like $100 to send, and you had no control in there. There was zero on-chain scaling. So SegWit wasn't in there. Well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't being used really anywhere. Barely any wallets were using it. Lightning did not exist. It wasn't even begun to roll out for regular people to use. Liquid Network did not exist. All of these different things did not exist. There was no option. Now you have optionality. This fee bump hit, and I mean, granted, I'm always diving into new stuff, so I was probably a little bit more prepared than the average person. But like for myself, I kind of didn't affect me in that I was able to just kind of lean on Lightning more than I would have been a little bit. And it also made me think about, what do I do as this becomes a more consistent scenario where fees are regularly high? Because that's an eventuality we're all going to face. With the way that Bitcoin's going to scale, it's going to be layers. You're not just going to pack everything on chain forever, because then nobody can run a node. And so I was kind of thinking to myself, well, what would be my flow? Because the one problem, well, it's not the one problem, but one of the problems with Lightning is you can't store it in hardware wallets. Lightning wallets are always hot. They are online by design. That's how Lightning works. So what would be your option? If you're stacking sats and you're doing like $20 stacks, $100 stacks, you're not going to do on-chain if the fees are $20 to send. So what's your next solution? Well, you can stack via Lightning. There are exchanges that there's a ton of exchanges you can actually withdraw on Lightning now. So you could do that. That's fine. But like, how comfortable are you going to be with once it gets to a sizable amount in Lightning on a hot wallet? So what I kind of came to is, I think people are a little bit sleeping on the utility that Liquid could offer. And there's trade-offs there. We need to discuss trade-offs, because what is Liquid? Liquid is a quote-unquote side chain of Bitcoin. What that means is there are, it's It's a federation model, meaning there are 15 large entities holding keys to a multi-sig. Depositing into Liquid is adding funds to a multi-sig and then having a one-to-one peg between Liquid Bitcoin and Bitcoin that is represented by money in the multi-sig. So obviously there's a trade-off there in custody. There's a degree of trust there. However, it's much better than sitting on an exchange, right? Like you have no control there whatsoever. It's like, hey, one person gets to rug pull me and I'm done. In this, you would have to have a mass collusion of 11 of those signers, large entities all saying, you know what, we're going to rug all of our users in concert with each other at the same time. So I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but I'm saying it's much less likely than an FTX style thing. And for some, myself included, I think in the context of having like a medium level stack, I think for me that makes sense. And what I mean is this: you're stacking sats, you're withdrawing via Lightning. You know, it gets up into your hot wallet and you're like, you know what, this is more cash than I'm comfortable carrying around. You say, I'm gonna put this in cold storage, but I'm not justified yet in doing an on-chain transaction. I'm going to swap it to Liquid. Liquid, you can secure with hardware. You can secure Liquid. It's the exact same as doing a Bitcoin transaction in terms of functionality, and you can be offline. It doesn't need to be a hot wallet. You can stack kind of medium level with Liquid. And then when it gets to a sizable amount where you're like, this makes sense for an on-chain transaction to get it into cold storage, you swap to on-chain directly into your cold card or whatever you're using. So before I kind of open it up to like, let's discuss and talk about like all the cool things that are available now that weren't before, I wanted to show something. So this is, one sec here. So this is sideshift.io, AI, sorry, sideshift.ai. And this is, I didn't sign up or anything. I'm just on a page. And I've selected that I'd like to send Lightning and I'd like to receive Liquid. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my browser here to Marina wallet, which is a native Liquid wallet. I'm going to hit receive and I'm going to copy my address and I'm just going to paste it in. Okay. Now, how much do I want to send in Lightning? I don't know. They don't have sats yet. So like we'll work on that. What's my minimum? 0003. Okay. Well, 39. Okay. We'll do that. Okay. So I'm going to be sending Lightning. I'm going to be receiving Liquid to my Liquid address. I'm going to hit shift. It's going to tell me what I'm getting. Of course, they're an exchange. They're going to charge a little bit of a fee. That is fine by me. And it's just going to bring up an address for me to send Lightning to. And I'm going to do it natively in my browser from a plugin that's connected to my own node. So I'm just going to copy the invoice. Here's Albi. This is connected to my own Lightning node. I'm just going to paste in that. I'm going to hit continue. Hey, I'm sending around $10.50. I'm going to pay it. And then once that goes through, payment successful, I should see this screen update and it'll say, hey, we're sending over some Liquid Bitcoin to you. So I'll see my balance updated. But like this would be my flow of, hey, I stacked some sats on Lightning. Oh yeah, it's a little bit too much now. I'm gonna shift it over. Okay, great. And it goes off to my Liquid wallet. Yeah, there we go. Ooh, sound effects. And then in a second here, I should see this update with a new balance and I'll be able to view the transaction on screen. I think it was just updated. There we go. So I just got some Liquid Bitcoin here and I can do this. I can shift from Liquid to on-chain here. I can do that through a variety of different means, but now I have this, which can be stored on hardware. Like I can use the Blockstream Jade and I can store that and actually secure it offline. And I don't have to worry about it being in a hot wallet. The other cool thing, I'm just going to say view transaction. Here, if you're looking at a Block Explorer, the transactions are confidential. So it doesn't say the amount being sent. It doesn't even let you know the asset being sent because you're going to have different things on Liquid. So with Liquid, there's confidential transactions. So you get a greater degree of privacy with it. So anyways, I'm excited that there's tools that people are really not fully keen to yet or fully understanding yet that are there and available for when fees get insane. You can do things strictly between Lightning and Liquid if you really wanted to, and then default to on-chain for like long-term family savings, and that's okay. So I'm stoked about this. I think it's cool. I think there's a lot more tools that are coming. I do hope that more people kind of look at Liquid and consider it as that in-between option. And also the fees, like, just so you know, I paid 255 sats for that Liquid transaction. So comparatively, yeah, it's cheap. It's like one sat per byte basically is all day long. So anyways, I'm going to open it up here. I'm sorry. That was a long ramble, but I guess my general, what I'm curious about with you guys is, one, how did you handle the recent influx of fees? Are you using any tools? And, you know, is there anything that you want to try? So I'll let anybody jump in.
I'll say something. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Ladies first. Go ahead.
If I'm being honest, I am like a hold and sit on my like pile of acorns. I don't really touch anything. I don't move anything. I do have one hot wallet. If I go to PubKey, I'll try to buy a beer with it. That's about as far as I go with moving things around. But I'm sure like there will be a day where it's time to start buying and with my Bitcoin. So maybe I should start looking into that. But for now, I'm kind of a just hold it and wait.
The day will come when you go to pay in dollars and somebody's like, I don't accept dollars anymore.
Exactly. It's true. It is true.
Bubby.
Yeah. You know, and you got the right attitude there. You really do, Alex. There's one thing I like to call the HODL Zen. As you go into your first bear market, you're in Zen mode. Nothing will ever beat you again. You made it down. You've made it back up. You DCA'd. That after the HODL Zen mode, that's when you go into what I call keep your stack. Oh, and guess what? I've got a little spend stack because I always love to help support anyone that is accepting Bitcoin via Lightning. I say, you know, going back to what Ben's talking about, what happened here, I really don't care. I think most hodlers don't care because, yeah, that's great. You're putting these ordinals on here. You're pumping up the prices. The miners are getting rich, which is good because that drives innovation. In my mind, the miners get to figure out, wait, how can I find something more efficient? For the true Bitcoiners, I don't think it really mattered. What never mattered to me, and we've talked about this quite a bit in our spaces, I'll just say this. Moving forward, if a monkey JPEG can bring down Bitcoin, I was wrong to begin with. I've said that for a while. If a monkey JPEG brings down Bitcoin, what the hell am I doing here? It's going to change the prices. Look, the fees go up, the fees come down. I really don't care. The important thing is I see what the future is, and I'll get back to my rant later. I don't want to run into that now, which I think Ben tries to trick us into doing. But I'll say this. I mean, this stuff on the side, like Lightning and Liquid, imagine how crazy. You know, what's the movie with Will Ferrell where he's, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. Yeah. That's where we're at. Like, I'm trying to – I remember Ben, man, in Charlotte last year, and he's trying to sum up Bitcoin in 45 minutes, friend. And he's there, and at the end, he's at the conspiracy guy with like the tin foil hat. He's got points all over the board. And this is what I feel like. What are you guys doing? Lightning, Liquid, I don't care. I'm not moving my Bitcoin yet. We are so early. We are so early in what the hell we're doing. I'm not moving it except for my little cool pile on the side where I got my Bitcoin hat. Oh, I told you that. Boom. I bought a Bitcoin hat using Lightning. Oh, I'll tell you later. But you buy these things and you help these little companies come along. I got coffee from Colombia using Lightning.
Nice.
But this whole last part meant nothing. I don't understand. If you guys want to waste money attacking the Bitcoin chain, go for it. You're enriching them, and you are just you're running out of money yourself. Yeah. Oh, hang on. My dog's getting in the way here.
Yellow says you need to allocate some sats to your closet door.
Oh. Hey, that's been the bane of my existence, and I was going to fix it a couple years ago, but when people started talking trash about it, I'm leaving it now. Until the laser eyes come off, I'm leaving my door like that. I'm sorry it's broken.
That's the real laser ray to 100K.
Yeah. Closet door broken till fiat currency dies. No, yeah. It's an institution from when we started on YouTube, Toxic Caviar, 3 years ago. And we got to get back to it because it's a lot of fun. Can I just give a quick shout out to BTC Moon Guy, who I see in the chat? Because the first three YouTube live streams we did back in the summer of 2020, he was the only guy in the chat. Thanks for the support, brother. And Uwe's, I saw him as well. And I tried to jump in the chat, Ben, on the YouTube live stream, but I need to create a channel or something first. I've never seen this before. So, but never mind. And then also, I just want to say, Ben, look, we know you're professional and you have a great studio set up. Like, it's expensive and everything. But honestly, look at the lighting setup that Alex has. I don't know what's happening, but that seems to be the best here. I know I have the worst. Like, I got the California sunshine blocking out the camera and everything, but look at Alex's setup there. So, you know, be better, Ben. Anyways, no, I'm kidding.
No, Ben's forehead is just as shiny as mine. We both got great lighting right now.
I think Anders, you need to go like break that window behind you or something.
Yeah. Maybe you should have turned it around. I'm sitting on the floor. I'm more mobile than you.
I guess, you know what? That's a great idea. I should try and play with that. But on the other hand, it's nice that you guys see some California palm trees. All right, to be serious, and also it's good to see Jaime and Yellow there in the chat. I haven't moved anything on-chain probably the last month or something, so I haven't been bothered by those fees at all. I just have a core belief that through, you know, years of looking at this, that Bitcoin doesn't care. It doesn't care about if anybody want to pay high fees to move JPEGs or whatever it is. I don't even want to spend time. Like, I don't really look that much into that. So be it. You know, it's Bitcoin moving from whoever wants to play around to miners, which helps secure the network. It's more incentive for the miners to secure the network, more hash power goes online. And also it puts the miners, you know, it's been a boon for them the last couple of weeks. And it helps secure them from a potential, you know, bankruptcy. So we don't have to, there's less worry for them getting into financial difficulties. That means they have to sell their stack and all of that. So I don't really care. But from all the things you said, Ben, back from 2017 until now, you mentioned so many technical developments that has happened. I think that's really important. And something that most of the time we talk about price, but you mentioned a bunch of technical advancements for Bitcoin. And I think sometimes people forget about that when they look at the price. Bitcoin today is way stronger and more capable than it was 4 or 5 years ago. I think that's a great reason to be bullish. The core developers are working hard to make the best money ever, the best money ever. What can I say?
Yeah. It's great because again, in 2017, it was like, well, guess I'm just screwed. Whereas today it was, well, maybe I should use A, B, C, D, or E. And though that wasn't available before. So to see that, and I mean, these events that are unexpected are always what drive innovation. So we get to see how the tools that have been created since 2017 react and then iterate and improve upon what we already have. And that's fantastic. So I can't wait to see. Before we rotate, I have to give a shout out to number one fan, David Wong, in the chat. he comes here all the time to tell us how wrong we are, how Bitcoin
how wrong we are, right? How wrong we are.
Yeah, exactly. He wants us to know that if the U.S. get all the governments together to shut down power and go dark worldwide, Bitcoin will disappear. Well, I mean, there is a long history of all world governments agreeing on everything. So that's very likely to happen. But I also want to give a shout out to David Wrong, who is in the chat. And he's another, now there's many Davids, Davids and Wrongs. And also I saw earlier on, because there was some speculation that David Wong was actually just American HODL trolling. And when I first jumped into the chat, I happened to see somebody by the name of American Wong saying Bitcoin will go to 10K by the end of the year. So I'm very happy to have multiple Wongs here. And I saw somebody earlier, three Wongs make a right. So
that's what she said.
Here we
you
are.
Have three Wongs?
We Come do. On.
You're not going to leave an easy one like that for us.
Dude, better put.
Ben is so much cooler than us, guys. He knows about this liquid. Oh, he knows all sure. about the new stuff, you know?
We could just sit here and discuss Wongs. That's fine.
Yeah.
We do it every day, Ben, for almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
Monday to Friday, 2 to 4. We talk about Wongs.
I love it. All right.
When you started your 10-minute rant on like all these technical things, yeah. I realized how Puppy and I like we could definitely step up, and I guess we're just having fun because you know it all, man. And it's great. It's great that people have that resource to go to your channel and actually learn stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah. All right. Or I'm gonna toss it to Anders now, and we're gonna do our first rotation. I'm gonna keep it with you. So. As I will cue everybody else up, I'm going to ask Anders directly, why are you bullish? Take it away.
Okay, so wait, should I say something also like that I'm just excited about, or should we go straight to like the Bitcoin bullishness? Your call.
This is the world is your oyster, my friend.
Oh, sweet.
You go into whatever kind of rant you want, and then we shall comment and ask questions after.
Awesome. Okay.
Keep it short. Just keep it short, my friend.
Put a mirror up when you say that, Puppy. That would be awesome. Thank you. No, I'm kidding. My brother from another mother. Well, I mean, of course, I'm very, very excited about, we threw a party in LA before Pacific Bitcoin, got a lot of positive feedback from that. People were very happy with it. So that was a lot of fun for me. I was there, Puppy, wasn't there. And then that we're putting the second one together, or have put the second one together. That's in Miami. Very excited to go to Miami Monday and be there for a week. And we're doing that rooftop party, on Thursday, Toxic Capier, pleb party version 6.15, brought to you by swan.com. Thank you for sponsoring. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm very, very excited. And also just very excited to meet, you know, all this whole Bitcoin family that we have on Twitter. On to the more technicals, or like actual serious, why am I bullish on Bitcoin? You know, I know there's a few people that say that the four-year halving cycle is dead. So far, it is not. Back in October or September comes before October. Back then, I said, look, the previous two halving cycles, exactly 18 months before in both of them, the Bitcoin bottom priced. And then came November, which was 18 months before the next halving, and that's where the low was set of $15,600 per Bitcoin or something. So that is scaringly precise, or very much a pattern that 18 months before the price bottomed. So I honestly, I am very bullish for this year and next year and the following year, because it seems like that cycle is intact. Furthermore, in 21, end of 21, the Fed started going hawkish, and FTX took $4 billion that was supposed to buy Bitcoin and under normal circumstances would push the price higher. They took that $4 billion people from their clients and bought real estate and other good stuff for their family members and for themselves. So I think that's the reason we never got the top that we got. But what the reason I'm bringing it up with the Fed also is that, so that cycle was negatively impacted by the Fed going hawkish. Now they are with a super high interest rate. Something is going to break. There's already been cracks in the dam. Something is going to break, and they're going to have to revert to printing or lowering interest and lowering interest rates, because the U.S. government cannot afford this interest rate on this debt. U.S. has a military the size of the next 7-8 countries combined, the budget. And right now, the interest rate just on the debt of the United States is equal to the military. I'm taking that as a cue from Poppy. I should probably pass the mic here. I think he wants to comment on it. Why are you coming? I'll go get a beer, Poppy. No, I'll end it there. So I'm very bullish for this cycle to be intact and see a top between 200 and 500,000, I think, in 25. But I don't know, so it's not financial advice.
I've got a question for you, because I'd agree that FTX had a dampening on the price, not just because of the implosion, but because there was billions of dollars in demand for Bitcoin that went nowhere. Somebody thought they were buying Bitcoin, and if FTX had to actually acquire that Bitcoin, there would be less available Bitcoin. So that definitely, paper Bitcoin has a dampening effect on the price of Bitcoin. But also, fuck around and find out. Good riddance to FTX. And self-custody, like actually take your coins into your own custody. Like it's a must at this point. I mean, it always kind of was, but again, people learn. But I'm curious, how much do you think the quote unquote mining ban in China had to do with that as well? Because like there were miners that had to sell off like a bunch of their treasury and had to move a lot of hardware. Obviously, there's still low key. There's still quite a bit of hash rate that's under the radar there. But like a ton of miners had to scramble and sell stuff to pay to move things. Like, do you think that had an effect?
You know, I honestly probably don't know enough about that specifically. Definitely the announcement from the Chinese government, I guess it's CCP, had that crash on Bitcoin, because a lot of people who didn't know actually what Bitcoin was got scared and thought, oh, they can ban Bitcoin, which obviously they couldn't. And it's even better today. So it created a crash, I think, you know, psychologically triggered or based. How much of it was Chinese miners selling? I just simply don't know. But yeah, it couldn't be a positive thing. But on the other hand, it wiped out the thought of, oh, mining of Bitcoin is concentrated in China, right? It removed that thought.
Anders, my brother from another, I love you, man. Hey,
this is why
TC only jumps in as a co-host. That poor bastard lost like a lot of his miners that were still I think they're still being held in a Russian jail somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, all right, Compass Mining. I'll tell you this. Mining. What happened there though, let's be honest, what you saw happen there was the beautiful brilliance of the what? What do you call it?
What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Help us out, puppy.
Come on.
You're on a higher level here. We don't know what
the difficulty adjustment. This is what you saw come out of everything from China. What is this thing, Bitcoin? And this isn't going to be part of my rant later, but the difficulty adjustment played out beautifully, perfectly.
Yeah.
This is what you saw. So I don't know, moving forward, what's going to happen. No, that's my joke. That's it.
You're right. Like the difficulty adjustment does its thing. Like maybe a few people noticed that Bitcoin blocks were happening a little bit slower for a short period of time. And then TikTok block, that adjustment hits back to 10 minutes per block. Like it is what it is. So it's again, like if for people that just had Bitcoin, one of the largest countries on earth banned it outright and they wouldn't have noticed. It just kept on working. Literally nothing happened.
I'm laughing because before Spaces, you just had to like soak up any type of Bitcoin content you could. All right. So over the years, man. And by the way, I don't know if you're down there listening. And Andreas Antonopoulos is still to me one of the most brilliant orators when it comes to explaining what Bitcoin is and what it represents, as Anders gets pissed and leaves the room. I'll talk to him later about that.
I love it. Alex, I'm curious your thoughts on Anders' topic of he's bullish now. We're into bullish territory.
You guys are being too technical for me. I'm going to be honest. But if I'm going to be fair, I really do believe the whole FTX thing that happened. I think that was the biggest thing, because that was just a number that didn't actually correlate with what was really happening. And I think afterwards that created a lot of fear, that created so much fear for people that just came in for the first time. And now they're probably not going to come back. And that ruined it for a lot of newcomers, I believe. And I think that changed the numbers for a while now, until, you know, we get confidence back within the newcomers.
I think a lot of those newcomers too, if they got scared away, unfortunately, they'll be scared away until it's much, much higher than when they lost their money. So they won't, you know, if they're scared away, they're obviously not DCAing through this price movement. They're just out, and they'll be out for a while, and then they'll see it years later and be like, God, that's like 5-10 times what it was worth when I lost it. Had I just started saving in Bitcoin again, that would have been amazing. And then the people that did weather it, that did lose some money or did get scared because of it, that stuck around, they started learning. A bunch of them did. And I definitely know this because I've had people, you know, I need a one-on-one, I need to like work and learn self-custody now. I've seen a ton of it. And that's encouraging, because you're at least getting the strong base of people that are learning and starting to understand the tools and what makes Bitcoin special in the first place. And yeah, we need more of that. We need, Bitcoin's a very harsh teacher, but it's also a very effective one. Nothing's a better teacher than pain, and man, Bitcoin can beat you up if you're not careful.
The FOMO is real. Yeah.
Absolutely. Anders, do you have any final thoughts, any other things you want to wrap up with before I do a rotation?
I'm happy for you to do a rotation. What I will say is, because we used to wear scarves, and I see several people in the chat asking for it, and I did get a new scarf last time I was in Denmark. So I'll just, I got to go get it real quick. I really like it, to be honest. So I'll be back. I got the beer before. Let me get the scarf. So let's go for sure.
Perfect. I can't. I mean, scarves are a winter thing for me. I can't do a scarf when it's hot. I don't know. You're insane, man.
I'm Danish, so yes, confirmed.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna do a rotation here. I'm gonna toss it down to Alex now, and I'm just gonna cue you up with the same question. Why are you bullish? Take it away.
I'm pretty much bullish on so many different things on different weeks. I think it's just because I'm still pretty new, so I'm always learning. So the new thing is always something interesting to me. But if I'm going to talk about it's nice scarf, Anders.
Hey,
if I'm going to talk about my basis.
Sorry?
I said I like your scarf, Anders.
Thank you.
But I am consistently bullish on the community that Bitcoin brings on and the lifestyle change and just the way I view the world differently now. I think there's something to be said about that. Like when I was working for fiat in the Matrix and I thought that was life, I thought, you know, somebody has to lose in order for you to win. And it was not an easy thing to do. You know, I would get stepped on. Sometimes I would have to step up on the ladder. And it's harsh because we're supposed to be humans. We're supposed to be looking out for each other, not killing each other just so that we can survive. Because in order to even make ends meet in this fiat matrix, you have to basically be bad. You have to be a bad person. But in Bitcoin, we're all uplifting each other. We're all winning together. Our only enemy is the people trying to take that away from us. So self-sovereignty, I think, changes you as a person. It changes what you value in life. I that's just the experience that I've been having. And it's almost like a spiritual thing to a degree. And it really did change. It changed so many perspectives for me. I also just am a lot calmer now. I'm not as worried as I used to be. I feel like, okay, I've got Bitcoin and now I've got I've got family. These are the important things. Why even worry? Who cares about a designer bag and going on fancy vacations? Like, let's stack our sats and chill and, you know, just worry about the important things in life. So I think that's what I've been bullish on really to the core.
You're not even bullish on designer scarves though?
That's Anders's thing. He is European. You got to give it to him. From Euro to Euro, I get it, Anders. I really do. My father comes out in those like paperboy hats.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I love it. I love the change in perspective though. It does make you realize like how many trivial things that so many people argue about are really inconsequential. Like, you know, when you sit in front of the TV all day and you plunk on whatever side of the aisle's news network and you just sit there and you stew over it all day, then it contributes nothing to your life. And realistically, a lot of it is relatively inconsequential when you can take control and be self-sovereign and, you know, again, do what you love, stack into money that doesn't steal with you. You're right in that, you know, fiat world is zero sum. You're always looking to get one up on somebody else. You're always looking to somehow extract value from others for yourself. Whereas Bitcoin is collaborative and cooperation creates value instead of extracting it from others. It's additive. It's you're not subtracting something from somebody else when you collaborate and build value. So yeah, I'll open it up to the other guys, Puppy Anders, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I would love to jump in on that. But yeah, Puppy, I'm going to just grab the mic now so while I remember it. I love that thing you're saying, Alex, about how fiat is zero sum. And a lot of people have that way of thinking. And you're so right that when it, you know, once we move on a Bitcoin standard, it's not going to be zero sum. There's going to be so much more. And I keep referring to or quoting Jeff Booth, an abundant tomorrow because of all the dynamics that it changes, that there's not a few private banking families owning the central banks that are extracting the value and labor for all of us. So we have to keep being in that hamster wheel and step on each other to get ahead. Bitcoin is going to open up just abundance. So great point. And I also just say, it's how good is it, Ben, that you get a woman in here, a mother, to get that perspective about the community and how everything is going to get better. You know, that's something we couldn't bring. And Alex, that is lovely. You're right. It's a great community. And that's the thing. Like, for instance, next week when we go to Miami, I'm super excited to see all three of you. And as I keep saying, because we're trying to orange pill people, all of us, because we want to help them. And we get a lot of, from some people, we get a lot of pushback, and we're the crazy ones. So when you get together with these people that you're on the same mission with to do something better for humanity, we have those aligned values. And that's what you're referring to, Alex, like that community. It's the best thing. Like, I have the best days of my life when I'm together with like 500 Bitcoiners. I love it.
Hubby, I'll toss it to you.
I'm not quite sure what to add to that.
Anything you can dive into Alex's topic, anything in regards to like the change of mindset that Bitcoin brings into your life, like how have you experienced that?
Yeah, so man, I'll tell you what, it's not so much a change. I'll tell you the most important thing to me when I look back and I talk to anyone that has come into Bitcoin, it's not the change afterward. The change comes beforehand. The change is before you even get there, because you just don't come into Bitcoin. Yeah, boom, I'm in. Let's do this shit. No, you were prepped for this. You were prepared for Bitcoin from an early age, or your education, your own way of discovery, of learning what is wrong with the current system. The change afterward, that's sort of easy. Okay, I gotta eat steak now. No more carbs for me, motherfucker. That kind of thing. But I'll tell you this: the change happened for years. The change, I don't think you know, 10, 20, 30 years. You understood something was broken, and that's the beautiful thing. Once you arrive to Bitcoin, I don't care what angle you came in at, you know, a circle has 360 degrees. But man, people come in from an economic angle, a mathematical type of angle, I just want to pay my bills kind of angle. This is the beautiful thing about Bitcoin, is that you come here for a different reason. But once you get here, look at the four of us on stage. And by on stage, I mean a channel that hopefully in the future people will look at and say, these guys were the most beautiful people in the world that understood what's going on. And I hope that makes sense. It may not. But the point is this. Bitcoin draws people. It's a magnet, man. It's a goddamn magnet that draws people in from all different races, and you call it what you will, but Bitcoin brings you together because it's the truth. It's the absolute truth about the world. Nothing being, you know, created and lied about is the truth, and this is why we're here. Sorry for my rant.
I enjoyed it. That's all good. David Wong wants us to know, by the way, that where he said that the orange pill has lots of side effects. Yeah, Ben, the orange pill has a lot of side effects. But David Wrong wants to say that it frees your mind, and that's right. The orange pill has major side effects that come in the form of freedom.
Bring them up, man. Bring them on stage. That's a great thing about a David Wong is he'll never have the balls to come up and show himself on stage.
David has a forever invite to this show.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to have him up here. One day it's going to happen. I can't wait. Actually, one day we'll be at the conference and he's going to come up and say, "Hey, I'm David Wong. Pleasure to meet you." And I can't wait to meet him. Even if he still hates Bitcoin, he's a mainstay of the show. He is the show's mascot. Never change, man.
You know what? I saw that tweet. Oh, not tweet. Sorry. Chat message that you brought out there. And I was just thinking that David Wong, you just outed yourself as a Bitcoiner because you know about orange pills. I get it. You're a comedian. It's funny. We love it. You're the mascot. But you are a Bitcoin, and everything you're saying is sarcastic. You're stacking sats hard, and we know it. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. Imagine he'll show up with highlighted tips. I hope so.
Look, I rarely jump in on any things, but I will tell you this. Imagine being so hateful at something. You know, I don't care about political parties. You keep that stuff to yourself. Imagine being so hateful that your entire life is spent waiting for BTC session.
to tell us
it's a great show. I'm telling you, Ben, I love the show. But imagine your entire life is spent waiting for your show.
It's great. One time he was here like 2 hours early. That was such a great day. Looking at the chat, I was like, man, he was waiting for this show. But yeah, David, keep coming back. I can't wait to meet you in person. Are you going to be in Miami? Probably not. That's okay. Nonetheless, we're going to keep it going here. Alex, excellent topic. We're going to rotate. We're going to pass it to Pubby. And Pubby, I'm going to queue you up the same as the others.
Oh.
And I'll just ask you, why are you bullish? It's all yours.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You know, it's one of the things. Here's why I'm bullish. For one, Ben, was 2 years ago, you invited Andrews and I on to a Christmas Eve special. And at that point, I knew I made it. I made it. No, just kidding. But yeah, I'm still disheartened about last year's oversight. I'm sure that was just something from HR. But next year we'll make it. No, here we go. I'll tell you what, man. When you put that out there, I love that about how it makes you think. What makes you bullish? I started thinking in numbers. I started thinking about, man, the number 14, 15 coming up. And I'm thinking, this thing gifted to us. And we had an argument today about whether it's discovered, invented, created, whatever. 14 or 15 years later, this thing will not die. This Bitcoin will not die. So I love that number 14, 2009 to 2023. Bitcoin's still here, man. And guess what it does? Tick tock, next block. And I'm looking at the other numbers. $31 trillion. $31 trillion. That's our national debt, dude. That means $250,000 for every man, woman, and child that lives in the United States right now. Here's your tax bill. $250,000. All right. Then look at the number 210 trillion. That's unfunded liabilities. Unfunded meaning, we have no idea how we're going to pay for that. These are the numbers we're looking for, man. So why I'm bullish is, guess what? When I sit back and on a sideline, I can accumulate Bitcoin. It's a damn beautiful thing to have on the sideline. It's value outside of the system. Man, maybe if you can bring BJ up here, I'll tell you another number. Well, I don't even know the total number. What, 170,000 truckers arrested? I'm just making that number up. How many truckers were arrested in Canada? They're arrested for what? Peacefully protesting? I don't know what that number is. I can tell you this. Bitcoin would have helped that number. So that's why I'm bullish on Bitcoin, is I know at the end of the day for all of this, Bitcoin has always been there to answer the call. Okay, I'm done with my rant. Thank you, sir.
So Sessions, let me just take over the show for a while because you're muted. So I'd like to ask you, Alex, how do you feel about that emotionally at this stage?
Puppy's cut it out, Nesky.
Puppy, it sounds like Puppy's actually bullish on time. He's like, it's been this long, everybody. This is good, bullish on time. It's Boomer Coin. We love, I love Boomer Coin. I love time. I've been here for as long as my husband's been here because I came in late. I came in late, but technically we're together, so.
Yeah. It was, your origin story is his origin story, right? They're one and the same. We've been in Bitcoin for X number of years.
I've been in Bitcoin for one. He's been in six, but who's counting? You know, we've been in six.
That's great. I did want to say, I'm glad you gave a shout out to BJ. Dude's awesome. I got to see him last year at the conference in person for the first time. But yeah, he was on the other side of the country. And part of the multi-sig setup that we had going to raise some money for the protesters. And yeah, man, excited to see him again. So yeah, shout out BJ.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anders, do you want to, I mean, is there, did you want to add to Puppy's sentiment?
Yes, I do. and like, yeah, I love it. Puppy's good, bullish for great reasons. And that whole rant reminded me of another reason that I'm bullish. And that is, and that's what I want to share. In 2008, the Fed learned that, hey, if we print a lot of money and call it a fancy name, quantitative easing, then when the economy crashes, like quickly we'll get asset prices back up. And in COVID, they had that learning. So they pulled the trigger very fast. So asset prices went back up. So I know people are afraid that, oh, Bitcoin is gonna, the Fed is driving Bitcoin into a really bad, the world, the economy into like a great recession, depression, whatever. So Bitcoin's going to go down for a long time. Well, just remember that the Fed has learned to pull that trigger really, really fast when assets start dropping. So that makes me a little bit bullish.
Yeah. The Fed, did you see that 13-year-old girl that went and asked Warren Buffett about de-dollarization? And she had it was incredible. So she's talking about how, you know, multiple countries are moving to other alternatives when trading for oil and all of this stuff. And she started touching on inflation. And she, again, 13 years old, asking Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger about this. And and she was like, so if the world starts to shift away from the US dollar, then, you know, there will be a flood of dollars in the market. And there will be greater inflation than we've already seen. How am I, as a new and upcoming individual and all of my friends that are growing up in this world, how are we supposed to navigate a world where we may have de-dollarization, where the US dollar isn't the world reserve currency, where we deal with inflation and people flee to other assets? What do we do? And Warren Buffett gave this like horrible response. Like it was just, I mean, he complimented her for knowing so much and everything, but it was kind of like, we're America. And that was like more or less like, that's just how it is. Like he basically said, I don't see an alternative. He said, I don't see anything else taking its place. We're America. I guess it'll more or less, it'll be that, you know, a whole bunch, but also don't bet against the US. And like, that was pretty much it. It wasn't like, hey, maybe you should look at assets that are not dependent on the Fed. Maybe you should like, there was none of that. It was like, well, dollars. it was a non-response.
It was a threat for him.
Yeah.
No one told her. as a response that just buy and hold Bitcoin, that's the way to navigate that environment? Okay, Puppy, you were saying something.
No, I'm you know, like a Brad Sherman. Don't worry, guys. We're the U.S. government. It's okay. We can print money. We can. Yeah. Don't worry. You can trust us. We're the U.S. government. And Ben, when you're talking about why are you so bullish, I'll tell you what. Another reason I'm so bullish is like people are waking up to the bullshit, man. Mm-hmm. People are waking up. When you have people like 2 years ago understanding what is this word fiat? What is this word fiat? What does it mean? You got people now understanding what fiat means. You got people waking up to the fact, like, you mean we're not tied to a gold standard? Not that they ever knew. Everyone just assumed this currency was like rock solid. People yeah. are waking up to the fact that like, it's a whole house of cards and fucking bullshit.
What do you Probably mean there's nothing in our reserves?
Yeah. What
are the reserves? What do you mean?
Hang on. I got another picture.
Paper in reserve. Paper they can print numbers on. And then it's money.
But, you know what? I know you guys laugh at this. And it's sort of, let's say, what? 2 hours, 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week. 60 hours a month that we talk about this. I know people laugh at us and they just went, hey, it's a small group that understands it. And this is why I'm bullish, is because of the small group that we started as friends and we're family and we understand the shamara, the bullshit in front of us. We understand it. And every day, man, every day, Ben, guess what? One or two more people jump in there. One or two more people jump in there and say, hey, these people, they're my kind of people. Mm-hmm. And guess who the best one was? Alex, because she calls that yellow's bullshit.
Have you all noticed the Easter egg on Alex's screen? Have you noticed the Easter egg?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
I love it. I love yellow.
She'll bring the church.
Spanocopia.
You made that?
Spanocopia.
My sister made it.
Yeah, yellow's getting salty in there.
But Ben, honestly, this is why. Why are we bullish? And I'm thinking back, man. I don't need a single thing. I look back on my journey for 6 or 7 years here. I don't have 10 years of experience.
Puppy just
acknowledged
that he bought Bitcoin, what's it, 7 years back, 8 years back? What do you say? So yeah. 2015, Puppy bought at $200. Okay, go ahead, carry on, Puppy. The whole story.
My math is bad. I can only tell you one thing, man. How you can hold 10,000 Bitcoin on a hot wallet, I'll never know. I appreciate you, brother. That's a lot of, man, that's impressive.
Bad guy.
No, I definitely had no disposable income when I started in Bitcoin.
No, same here, man.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, like now, years later, small amounts of savings have at least gotten to the point where it's like, oh, you get to the point where you're like, I have a comfortable amount of savings where shit could go wrong and I'd still be okay. And that's what Bitcoin gives people is if you're patient and you have your wits about you and you just modestly work hard, spend less than you earn and save in Bitcoin, then after a few years, you start going, oh, geez, like I've got my life in order in terms of my finances. I'm spending less than I earn. And I'm saving in an asset that doesn't depreciate against everything over the long term. And I mean, that in itself, that change in your life is significant. Again, if you can stomach the ups and downs and you don't make rash decisions because of them, it also centers you. Like Alex, you were saying, you're a much more calm person. You know, it takes a Bitcoin bull and bear run to smooth things out a little bit for you. Like you're going to, again, you go through these ups and downs and it centers you a little bit and makes you a bit more rational, makes you step back and say, what's the important thing here? You know, does Bitcoin still function as I thought it functions? Do I understand as much as I thought I understood? As long as that remains true, then you just go on about your business. You keep doing what you were doing and ignore the short-term noise, right?
Yeah, it's like entertainment, really, you know, at this point. When things happen, we all just like to get on Twitter. Ah, what's going on? We don't like it, but it's fine. Really, we're all fine on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. Twitter is a different beast than real life. You know, not going to say GFY. Well, maybe I will to a few people, but no, just in jest, right?
It would, but let me just explain this thing, man. And this is beautiful. What just came out? What just came out with, like, I don't care who you are. You're going to flood the market with these things like these ordinals, these inscriptions. You want to pay extra fees to miners. At the end of the day, Bitcoin doesn't change, man. It's like a mountain. You're throwing rocks at a goddamn mountain. You think the mountain's going to fall down? No. The mountain's there, man. It's not moving anywhere. You throw all the rocks you want about it. You say, I bring down the mountain. The mountain is dead. No, man. The Bitcoin mountain is still there. It's not going anywhere. It's done. The game is over. The game is fucking over. That's what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at everyone. And this is like any BSV or BCH. They've lost 97, 98% of their money. This is their last get. Yeah, well, right. No, this is their last. It's their last gasp effort to do anything. And you just, and Bitcoin just sits there and takes it like a good husband. And, oh, sorry, wrong marriage.
What's up, Elton John?
What? Oh, what? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But the point is this, man. Bitcoin is unassailable. Unassailable, look it up. Mm-hmm. Look up the word, because I don't care what angle you come from. There's a temporary like advantage, you think. It's a fiat advantage. It's not a Bitcoin advantage. Yeah, quickly someone will make their dimes, but it's not Bitcoin.
I am very excited. There's somebody, again, American Wong in the chat. I hope this happens. He said, not literally, but he said minor death spiral after halving. I hope we see those headlines again. This will be my third time experiencing the same FUD if we see them. God, I hope I see those articles again. Just to have like 4 years staggered same FUD of, this time it's different. This time the minor spiral is going to happen. I cannot wait for people to dig up the exact same articles from 2020 and 2016. I really, for the love of God, I hope there's some newcomer that comes and they're like, this thing's going to implode the second this happens, not being privy to the fact that this is our fourth halving now, is it, right? Yeah. 2012, yeah. 16, 20.
25, 12 and a half.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, 16, man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fourth halving.
The miners aren't
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday. It was exactly 3 years ago we had the last halving, my first halving. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
It's so I can't wait for Miami. I'm curious what obviously the pleb party is going to be exciting. What else are you guys hitting up while you're down there? What's top of mind? What do you want to see? What are you doing in Miami?
Let's talk about it. This is important.
Let's do it. Well, let's bring up the pleb party first, because I think like that this that I'm highlighting right here, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I guess I mean not cool. If you don't have tickets, but that is pretty cool that happened.
Yeah. So let me comment on that. Of course, we're very happy and also sad to turn people away. Our DMs are exploding with people saying, like, you know, can I have this? Can I have that? And unfortunately, we can't let any more in. But, you know, excited that in LA, where we did throw, I think, a pretty good party that people enjoyed. That was the feedback. That was sold out, although it was free, but people had to register the night before. This is 8 days out. So, of course, we got to look for even more capacity next time. We just enjoy doing it. We want to make everyone happy, but I can't wait. I've been spending day and night on this for a while with Puppy in the Ear. When we don't do the taxi cap hour. So yeah, that's the end for me. Let's rotate.
Yeah, I don't know. Puppy, you must be excited for this, hey?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hang on. Let me make sure.
Nope. did Puppy just rug? Why are we bullish?
Oh my goodness.
But you know what? I think like he even prepares. It wasn't like a proper rock pull of just disappearing, but kind of like it that was good. I would give that 9 out of 10 on the rock pull scale. Puppy's gone, missing in action. Let me tell for those who don't know, Alex, I don't know. So if you know, but what is this? This is 2 years ago. We had Robert Breedlove. Okay, the Adonis of Bitcoin on Toxic Happy Hour. And about an hour, 10 minutes in, Puppy starts leaning back. And I can't get contact with Puppy. We're live at this point, three people, me, Puppy, and Breedlove. And I'm yelling at him. He ain't hearing anything. And then, like, he's just down the chair. And Puppy's out. He fell asleep. He actually fell asleep on Robert Breedlove. I know as a foreigner, it's a lot of words, but we know they're good words. There, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in there. Oh,
and he's back. Puppy was faking us out.
Yeah. I thought that was like an excellent live rug.
No, it should have been. Yeah, I didn't forget what the last question was there. Was it about what party was it? Oh, yeah. You know what? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, this is fantastic. You got to throw this party. It seems so easy. Yeah, it's fucking easy until it's not so easy. Mm-hmm. Man, like, where's your security? Where's your insurance? Oh, by the way, if you don't have enough money to pay for the alcohol, it's up to you guys. Mm-hmm. No one's ever thrown a party before, really, in my mind, until you've thrown a party in Miami. Just saying.
I mean, I've done a lot of private parties. I love to get people over and stuff, but it's not the same as getting a venue and doing stuff. But I just know like LA was so much worth it. It's just phenomenal when you're having a good time with all these people and people appreciate that you put something good together. And I know it's going to be like that in Miami. The reason I haven't been on Toxic Happy Hour 80% of the time during this week and probably last week is it's because I'm talking with the venue. I'm talking with Swan, who's the sponsor. And it like you think it's simple, but there's just a lot of moving parts. But I think we pretty much have it at a point where it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. The only thing that we cannot control, and I like to control everything, is the weather. But let's not talk about that because I looked at the weather forecast. I will...
Here. No, Anders, I want to know.
That's what she said.
Bring an umbrella. Bring an umbrella because you never know what's going to happen.
Although, like, Florida weather in around this time, like, when it rains, it's, like, beautiful in the morning. It'll rain for, like, a couple hours in the afternoon and then get beautiful again. Like, that's, like, to me, I think rainy and it's just, like, rain solid. Like, that's what I'm... in my mind, but that's not the reality in Florida.
So Swan, our sweet epic sponsor, they're holding a raffle. And I'm not doing any of this to sell tickets because we're done. I'm just saying it out of pure passion. They're doing a raffle with a lot of prizes. The biggest one is a $3,000 VIP ticket to Pacific Bitcoin, which is going to be October 5 and 6. And I'm sure Ben has a discount code if you want to get discount on those tickets. We're definitely going to be there. What I wanted to say is I looked at the weather forecast, and I think that raffle should go ahead. And then I think they need to add another competition that if you don't bring an umbrella, we're going to do a Miss / Mr. wet t-shirt on that rooftop that night. And anyone can participate.
Thank you. Yes.
So and Surfer Jim, we're not going to rock you.
Yeah.
We love you.
So, okay. So my question, again, maybe, and maybe I'll toss to Alex here. What are you, again, what are you hitting, in terms of events, obviously besides the event of the event, the Toxic Happy Hour, party, club party, but what else are you excited to see? What are you doing down there?
It'll be my first time going to any sort of event related to Bitcoin other than the BitDevs meeting that I've been to. This is my first Miami Bitcoin. This is my first pleb party. I don't have anything else planned. I'm kind of a go with the flow type of gal. So if I think, oh, this was cool, you know, I should go to Pacific, or, oh, I should go to Texas, and I'll probably play it by ear, but I'm pretty much just excited to say hi to everyone, meet all my little Bitcoin Twitter friends, have conversations with them, have a drink with them. I think that'll be fun.
Alex, you have no idea. It's the best thing in the world, what you just described there. Like, you're looking forward to it. I look forward to it. Bitcoin Miami 2021 was the first time that Puppy and I actually met each other after having done the show on YouTube for a year. Getting together with your friends at a Bitcoin conference is the best thing.
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking at my week. Holy God, I have really. So here's my situation. Last year when I was down there, it was a ton of fun. I saw a whole bunch of stuff, but there were definite notes that I had for myself of like, make sure I don't do this next year. So one of the things was I got caught up in a few conversations, like shitcoiny conversations with like people meandering and then saying, oh, hey. And you know, obviously I'm happy to talk to anybody that's wanting to talk. But like when the conversation shifts to like, oh, this is why this token is useful, I don't want to have the conversation. And like maybe as the polite Canadian, I'm just not forceful enough to be like, listen, man, I don't want to fucking hear it. I got shit to do. So I need to get better at exiting those conversations and going and because it's a limited amount of time.
You're too Canadian. You're too nice.
I'm too Canadian. But I need, like, it's a limited amount of time. There's so many great things to be doing with your time. And your time is very precious when you're down there. So, like, you got to find that signal, hone in on it. And if something's not, like, if you're like, I know I'm not interested in the current thing right now, then go and find something that is valuable with your time. The other thing that I'll say is, during the day, if you don't have plans explicitly that night, start asking people during that day what's going on and figuring out where you're going to go, because it can be difficult to get a hold of people once they're already out because they're having a good time. They're not looking at their phones. So that one of the nights I ended up being like, just had not really much to do, which is insane to think because there was so much going on, but I just couldn't get a hold of anybody at that point. So like I'm looking at my schedule right now and holy hell, I may have gone too far in the opposite direction because like
let's hear the schedule, thanks, man. Like we should all say the schedule. Alex has got the Toxic Happy Hour play party. That's cool.
Yeah. I put this out there. I put this out there quite a bit. And I've only been to two of the main events, 2021, 2023. But Anders, as you know, we've learned this lesson. We learned it quite well. You gotta have it sort of pre-planned, but not pre-planned. And what I mean is this. What you got to do is like have one or two things set up, but guess what? You're going to change your mind once you get there. And so here's how it works. You show up, Our first, Anders, remember our first year? You show up. We're having a good time.
I got a whole story for that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know you still love Jessica Hodler. I know. Because she hooked us up. Oh, was that a name? Was that a name out there? No, so here's how it works. You go out, you're having a good time. You have a great time all day. You're having fun with your friends. And you get back to the hotel. You go get showered up, cleaned up. You meet your boy Anders back down in the lobby bar. What are we going to do tonight? I don't know. What are you going to do tonight? Oh, wait, I just got a text from a friend. Oh, wait, was it Saifedean? Wait, you mean the guy that wrote the
book? Let me clear it up. We didn't get a text from Saifedean.
No. We got a text about Saifedean.
Correct.
And you're showing me this, like, hey, check this out. Saifedean? A moot? Yeah. Dude. Steak hour? What? Where is it? We had no plans. We get someone that actually sends us tickets to this thing. We're like, fuck, yeah, of course we're going to go there. Of course we're going to go there. So, great night. You see Saifedean. I don't even know if Ben was on that one. I don't think so, but Ben's ready to jump in here. Sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Do you guys want to hear my
instinct? Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we all love our buddy Nico from Simply Bitcoin. So Nico's Mrs. Sessions is dyeing his hair. So on Tuesday, we're going to do a live show, and he will be having his hair dyed during it. And then we're going to touch the tips. And that may contribute to the bull run, perhaps. Or nothing at all will happen. But one of those two things will happen either way. And actually, I'm going to say, anybody that's out there on Twitter, tweet out and tag myself that you want to come, and I'll pitch you.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Okay. What else? I'm not very religious myself, but I was asked to come do a Bitcoin 101 at Thank God for Bitcoin. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to I'm going to be there for a bit, and Puppy just rugged again.
Rugged.
Right, let me tell you the real story about Puppy. No, carry on, Ben. Yeah. I joke.
The cocktail party, that one, is looking pretty good on the Tuesday night. That should be a lot of fun. I'm doing my cold card workshop on the Wednesday. There's one ticket left for that, by the way. And then, of course, the pleb party is going to be an absolute blast. The following night, I'm going to go to the Nostrich karaoke night, which should be pretty awesome. Sold out. Holy crap. Maybe just show up anyways. And then Saturday, I'm going to go to the after party, I think. And then, like, on top of this, of course, there's like the conference itself, right? Like I'm going to just try and see all the booths and stuff. I'm lucky enough that I got a speaker pass. I can go on the Thursday when it's less busy. So I'm just going to use that, and I'm going to just hit all of the booths and try and see everything on the trade floor. And then the Friday I've got, I'm doing a talk about Cold Card and CoinKite on the open source stage, and I'm on the news desk. And then I'm really excited about the panel on the Saturday. It's like a content creators panel, and it's Nico, myself, Carla from the Crypto Couple, and Mick over at Geyser Fund. So,
oh, that's awesome.
God, there's so much going on. Like I the Sunday is like pretty empty, and then I fly home Monday. So. But holy crap, it's a lot. There's so much going on. And like for every one of those things I just said, there's simultaneously 10 other things going on. Like, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. It's jam packed. Yeah. If only I could clone myself and watch all of it happen at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Market says, don't forget to pick up some Colombian lightning coffee. Is there Colombian?
Oh, Marcus is there.
Are they going to have a booth?
I hope so.
That would be great. I would love to bring some. I have a friend who owns Peony. I can't.
Oh, yeah. Ben Justman.
Yes, Ben Justman. I can't wait to try some wine.
He's part of the High Council of Bitcoin Bens, don't you know?
Yes, there are plenty. There are so, we are all Ben. We really are.
it is a true 51% attack on the male names in the space. And anybody who isn't named Ben, we'll call it by, you know, having 2028, you shall be out of consensus and you will no longer be able to use the Bitcoin network. Just so you know.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, Big Sean Harris there as well. Let me say my game plan or whatever for Miami. Arriving Monday, checking into an Airbnb. I can recommend that. I learned that, or we learned that, Puppy and I, at Bitcoin Day, that instead of you have a hotel room and like, you're not gonna hang out there. You can't have friends over there. When you're in Airbnb with other Bitcoiners, you're having the best time and you have the best opportunity to, like, you know, after party, after whatever you do. I got a speaker for that reason, actually, that I'm going to try and sneak in as a personal item in the plane. So Monday, no big plans. Tuesday, going to Bitcoin Cocktail, like you, Ben. And I know, I don't know if they still have tickets because they sold out last year and they're expecting to sell out this year. But I know I don't have a code, but if you use the code LEGIT, all cap, from Shelly Legit, it costs $40 instead of $50. So Tuesday, yeah, looking forward to that cocktail party. I know Wednesday there is Lightning Ventures they have something. It costs 21,000 sats, which is around $6. Giacomo Succo is there, whom I'm a huge fan of, godfather of toxicity. And he came to my meetup in 2017. I was so honored, him and Mir, and spoke. And then Thursday, of course, our Toxic Caviar party. Friday and Saturday, I think Swan has something that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going there, Ben, but sorry?
Not a clue.
Okay. Yeah. And then the rest, I don't know. I'm just, yeah, as you're saying, like, talk to people during the day, find out what they're doing and make plans. So we're trying to, like, we've made some plans and then we're trying to not, you know, over plan it. As I can hear you saying you have, so there is some open, but that also gives you the risk of not having something, I guess, but we've got an Airbnb, we've got a barbecue, we've got a hot tub, we've got music. So yeah. It's not going to be the end of the world.
You'll be fine. Your lack of plans will be plans in and of themselves, right? So,
yeah. I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't be so chill now. I miss too much because I haven't planned anything.
there's a bunch. You'll be fine. There's going to be a million things, I promise you. So, all right. Well, I think at this point, I'm going to start rounding it out. But what I like to do at the end is just any quick final thoughts you may have. I always like to ask people that are on here to give a recommendation, and this recommendation can be anything. It can be life advice. It could be something that's helped you in your Bitcoin journey, whether it be like a book, a video, a podcast, an app, your favorite wallet, your favorite device, and anything at all that you think somebody should check out that you would like. So I'll start us off. My final thoughts are just, there's so many cool things being built in, on, and around Bitcoin. And it's easy when you're in Bitcoin for an extended period of time to feel like it's staying the same, but it's just the bias of being in it and watching it happen as it happens. The people that aren't actively engaging with it, that, like, you know, Alex was talking about, when, you know, FTX scares them off and then they come back years later, they're going to be like, oh my God, what is Lightning? What is, like, how is it I'm able to send Bitcoin instantly back and forth? And I have all this, there's all these tools and it's amazing. It wasn't like this before. And I think it's easy to forget that. So if I can give one recommendation for people, it's to try something on Bitcoin that you haven't tried yet. Try something, some tool slightly outside of your comfort zone at some point in the next couple of weeks. Pick something you're going to try and just give it a go and just see what it's like, and then learn and see what you like and see what you don't. But that would be my my recommendation is try something new. I would say if you're going to try something, Lightning if you haven't, Liquid if you haven't, and just play around and just see, and I'll leave it there. But I'll toss it to Anders.
Let's go ladies first, because you told us what to prepare and I'm not prepared for recommendations. So I'm thinking here what to recommend. Let's get more inspiration. Let's hear from the ladies first.
I'll toss it to Alex as planned. Final thoughts.
I will say I recommend not to bet on Poppy being back here. Over to you, Alex.
Oh man. Well, you know, I love how Ben is, you know, he's more forward thinking. He's all about like, let's try something new. I really like that. You know, he's basically telling us all to stop being a bunch of boomers, you know, look at Lightning, you know, love boomer coin to an extent. But I would say, you know, we're all in this together, everyone. We're not in the fiat matrix anymore. Support your fellow Bitcoin businesses. They mean a lot, because they might be the small steps to mass adoption. Someone's going to walk by you and, oh, what's that shirt? What's Bitcoin? Oh, what's that wine? That looks good. Oh, that coffee. You know, you need to support your local Bitcoiners and even the non-local ones. And I think, you know, they're going to be more important than you think too. So
I agree. So create your local Bitcoin economy. Support your Bitcoiners. I love it. We need a shirt that says support your local Bitcoiner. I think that'd be good. Anders, time's up. Going to you.
Damn. Recommendations. I would say, so TC, for instance, our good friend, I remember him before Pacific Bitcoin. Or maybe it was even before Miami last year. He's saying like, I'm not going to Bitcoin conferences because of doxing fear and, you know, risk and safety and all that. Then he came to Pacific Bitcoin, where we hung out, and it was amazing. And he realized it was amazing. I understand that it's also a money decision, because it is not free. Recommendation both for the conference. Like, I know tonight, I think the general admission in Miami is going to be 1,000. Buy them early. I don't know. What did they start at, 150 or 200? I don't know.
I think they started at like 200 something.
Okay. At 200. So I would recommend to go to these things, because they are life changing. And they really are, emotionally, like family wise, friendship wise, but also for people that, you know, want to get a life somehow within the Bitcoin community or industry or whatever, the connections you make, it really is a great, great experience to go. So go to these things and buy your ticket early. Surfer Jim was smart. He bought a Toxicabaret Pleb Party ticket for Miami next Thursday for $21. And now they're sold out. And the last one once at 121 were ripped away, right? So buy it early. Buy that ticket early and go. It's a great experience. That would be my recommendation. And stay healthy. Work out. Go to the gym.
Yeah. Just like Bitcoin. Come in early. Right?
Yeah. And work off that toxic happy hour hangover from the party. Get to the gym the next morning.
So yeah, I usually don't drink alcohol, because when we do, I mean, during toxic happy hour, because it's 11 a.m. for me. But now it's a great time. It's Friday, you know. It's almost 4:30 p.m. So it's nice to have a beer with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to see you both and our rug pulling friend in a few short days here. I can't believe how quick it's coming up. So yeah, I'll be hitting you guys up. I'll be sliding into your DMs as soon as I get down there. So yeah, thank you both for being on the show. Thanks to Puppy for being on most of the show, and we'll see you down in Miami. So yeah, we'll see you soon, guys.
And you're bringing Lisa, right?
Yeah, she will be down there. She's good.
The most amazing wife there, as is Alex, of course.
I'm looking forward to meeting her. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Ben. I really appreciate it.
No worries. I'll see you both soon.
Yeah, thank you. Guys. Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Later. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Of course, give them all a follow. All their Twitter handles are in the show notes. So you can follow Anders, Pubby, Alex. They're all down there. And don't forget to listen to Toxic Happy Hour all the time, every single day. Of course, like, sub, share, all those things help a ton with the show. You can hit up the previously mentioned sponsors in the show notes. That also helps. If you want to help out the show in another way, of course, you can just go to my website. My website is btcsessions.ca, and there you'll find a ton of stuff. Number one, a ton of resources for newbie friends or yourself if you're looking to get started, and that will walk you through all the steps of leveling up as a Bitcoiner. You can link directly to the YouTube show from there. You can book me for one-on-one private sessions if the free tutorials aren't enough and you need some hand-holding. There you go. And the in-person workshops, of which there is one coming up in a few days here in Miami. There is one ticket left. You can grab that from my website here. And if you really liked what you saw, you can always drop me a Bitcoin tip, a Lightning tip. Just scroll down a little bit. There's a QR code you can scan, or you can even click the thing. It'll take you to my Geyser Fund page, which it's all the same. It all goes the same place. So with that, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening, wherever you may be. See you guys next time for your daily session.
We have BTC sessions. Bitcoin is F your money. You can't stop it. Get yourself some Bitcoin and hold it yourself. Peer-to-peer exchange. You know, people are going to organically come to it and gravitate towards it, especially in the world we're living in now. It's incredible. It's a great tool, and I can't wait to see it proliferate everywhere.
Hold all the Bitcoin.